Are we doing recommendations yet?
We can do recommendations, yes.
Because I have two of them.
Well, okay. At the end.
Yeah, at the end. We'll definitely do recommendations at the end of the podcast. Speaking of the podcast, this podcast is brought to you by the wonderful savory taste of RC10.
Is that our new sponsor?
That's our new sponsor,
RC10. On that note,
sponsor drama.
On that note, welcome to Crippled System, episode 30. I'm Jeremy, Valiant 418, and I play Rhett in Legion.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking about where I want to put my feet.
So that happened on air.
That's an important decision to make.
That explains a lot what's happening.
My name is Nathan, and my recommendation is Pacific Rim. I'm trumping all you assholes and getting that out at the start.
Son of a turd merch.
This is Brian. I play Crix and the Crix. I got the Crix.
Crix.
But where are your feet?
Wow, we are a high energy group today.
Yep, this is Andy, and I play Crix.
Not last time I checked.
Oh, well.
Oh, I'm never gonna play Crix again now that they nerfed Gaspian unplayability. Oh my god,
that's exactly.
Like, why would I even? I'm so broke.
Hey,
oh my god.
Katie hasn't introduced herself yet. You can't jump into topics.
Oh, sorry. Go on, Foot Girl.
I'm Katie, and I play Circle.
That's true. Those are all true statements. All right, now you may bitch.
I wasn't bitching. I was mocking.
You were mocking.
Mitching?
I was being sardonic.
Since they nerfed the least powerful thing about him, except perhaps his name.
No, they nerfed his it might be the fourth most powerful thing.
It was a power drop, but
what on him is less important than that.
Most important thing is Excarnate. Second most important is survivability. Third most important is the feat. Yeah. So they nerfed the third most important thing about him.
I thought you told me this morning. That
his face.
It was Excarnate that his they clouds. Need to fix, and now they
it
can't
is
fix Excarnate.
It is Excarnate.
They nerfed his feet, and so now he'd be unplayable if he nerfed Excarnate.
Well, if they nerfed both. They're not gonna nerf both.
It is
the feet.
Sad.
He's
not
gonna be unplayable. I mean, that's
if they turned Excarnate into no actions, like
no special action. Just make it no.
Okay,
special
so
action.
Either way, no. See, if they nerfed Excarnate after they've nerfed his feet four times. Then I think it's possible he drops out of the top 10.
No, he drops out of the top one. He's
well,
still in the
he
top
He clearly
five.
Drops out of the top 10, one. That's like, no question.
If you take Excarnate and make it no actions at
right,
all,
right.
And you make his clouds an upkeep so he can only have one, and you make Hellbound non-upkeepable, he's still top 10. That drops him out of top five.
No.
He's still fucking top 10.
He's not still top 10 if you do all of that. There's no way.
His feet is still
his
ballsy.
His feet still kills two or three heavies.
His feet
with the Helldiver
still
slamming
good.
Still kills casters.
His feet is good.
All it means now is that people have to be a little more protective of Tartarus.
Or take a Helldiver.
Okay.
Well, no, Tartarus still gives the +2 range, which a Helldiver wouldn't.
Oh, that's true. No, that's fair.
You can basically, now it's more of an attrition feed. If you can't, if you lose Tartarus, you just can't get to the caster, but you can still feed on the army. So it's a stronger
right.
attrition feed. It's still deadly. It still will drop tons of heavies. It's still great. But you can't bring back 2X guy, which is a little sad. You can't bring back the Sea Hag.
Which is also a little
now
sad.
Now you have some semblance of the ability to defend yourself.
Yes, you can do something about it.
How dare they have that? How dare they do that?
How dare the Gatsby player's opponent actually be involved in the game?
the thing about Excarnate I don't like is you have to play so awkwardly against it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'd rather play awkwardly against because so many casters have feats where you have to play awkwardly against them.
But playing awkwardly against a spell every turn is miserable.
It is. It's lame. And there should be no spell shouldn't be as threatening as feats, and some casters have that. He's not the only one with a spell that good, but
no, I mean, well, there's somebody else that has Excarnate, as it turns out.
But he can't survive.
He can't survive when he's
Excarnate plus teleport is the issue.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm aware.
Just Excarnate.
Excarnate plus teleport
plus
hiding
clouds,
behind
plus
clouds is
yes.
the other
yes.
thing. I mean,
no, I agree.
If you can protect yourself after Excarnating, then you're fine. But that's the problem with Scabrous is that he's up there and he's like, I'm a really big guy and I can't hide.
I do love some of the overreaction people are having. They're like, oh my god, McCree's terrible. Now I'm like, how people don't understand.
He's not terrible. He's definitely not terrible. In case you live under a rock somewhere, the change was Gatsby's feet now can only bring back grunts. So no UAs, no solos, nothing like that.
Yep.
Just in case one of our listeners somewhere hadn't
heard about that. Brian Gerlacher.
Yeah, it's always something too that's an adaption. So that may change in the future. Who knows? I mean,
yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think it's a good change. It's not the change that I wanted to see made. I agree that Excarnate was the change I wanted to see made, but I don't work for Privateer Press, so Such is life.
Bada boom.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love for Banes not to be stealthy and tough and get back up every turn, too.
Dead Rising was a little over the
top. Dead Rising was over the top, yeah. Without Dead Rising.
It's a cool ability. It's a three-cost UA. It's
oh, yeah. Expensive. God forbid a three-cost UA when they have three attacks.
Yeah. Why do they have three attacks?
I get a UA that has one attack, if I'm lucky.
Yeah, but it probably costs 2 points.
Not in Legion.
Well, Legion doesn't count. They don't use units.
They do. Well, sure. They would if all their UAs didn't cost three goddamn points.
Don't the Hex Hunters have Hunter? What ability do they have? Do they have Hunter?
Hunter with Bale.
They have Hunter with
Bale. They have Hunter, which doesn't that literally do nothing?
It still works on their magic ability, their ranged
no,
six.
No, it does not affect.
Oh, is it ranged attacks
Hunter
only?
Works on ranged attacks.
So,
and they don't have ranged attacks.
Then that does nothing.
Somebody was saying that. I want to double check that, but I read
sure
that this morning.
Hunter. He gives them...
But there was some thing where they something. Got where they actually because it doesn't work on magical attacks, it was not useful.
I read that, but I was going to double check because it seemed awkward.
I would like to double check that.
I just didn't look it up.
What do you think, Katie?
I was thinking about my list.
Oh, okay.
Which list?
My comeback list.
List of places to put her feet.
That too.
Here, there, over there, up there, on top of that.
So
one
of you with War Room, look up Bile for us.
The other, I can do that. The other thing with the errata, as long as we're kind of on it, is Terran's awesomer now.
Oh, Terran's.
Well, to be fair, Signar and Menoth needed a better shooting.
To be fair, it was really a problem that Pete Krios had one thing in the game that could stop him from killing everything. And now it can't, so that's better.
No, see, I'm not as bitter and sarcastic. I'm the most bitter, sarcastic person on this podcast, and I'm not bitter and sarcastic about this one. Because
really?
This wasn't a buff to her. It wasn't a buff to the gun lines behind her. It was a nerf to Colossals.
Yeah.
And Battle Engines.
Right.
Because Battle Engines also work against
Peak
Creatures.
You can't just dry hump the back of a huge base model and be safe
from
everything forever.
For Signar and Menoth only.
And Mercenaries.
Well, Mercenaries could always
Mercenaries could take her before,
but that's true. Honestly, you rarely ever saw her.
This was just a buff to Signar and Menoth.
This was a buff to two people. It was a buff to P-Kane, or E-Kane, and it was a buff to Peak Creatures. Like, that's who got buffed. Those two did not need to be buffed.
And the same thing, too.
Any Signar list can have long gunners.
It can, but I honestly, what scares me about making her non-faction is Pete Krios and E. Kane.
Also, it's quite possible something in Vengeance has this ability, and so they are just preemptively altering it for the new model.
It's possible. That would be cool. But
maybe, like, that's maybe something in Caterer will have it, maybe something in, you know,
the other factions. The other errata in this one was the Cyclops Shaman's ability got changed because of the spoiler. So.
I know. Well, not just a spoiler. It was also...
Or Belphegor.
No, Belphegor's is bad, but also...
His Animus is called Despoiler.
There's another character in Legion that it's bad. Typhon. Excessive healing's pretty good. Stuff like that.
It's a D3 every time it gets hit.
Isn't it self?
Yeah.
Okay, so... Which Blood Cedar could have
excessive
healing?
Despoiler self.
But, right. But it was you didn't want to have two anti-magic bubbles. It was too good for...
Right.
Despoiler's not an anti-magic bubble. You walk into it, you take a point.
Yeah, it's
a cloud,
death check. It's the old death check.
It's a cloud as well.
It's a cloud on a stick.
The scorn effect that meant was really good. The new with the
Fatewalker was...
Well, yes. Fatewalker wasn't a big deal. It was the other one that the Rhynodon had.
The new character Rhynodon, yeah. That also does matter.
That's true.
Yeah, having that on a cheap light out in front is bad.
Seemed fair.
No, it did not. But yeah, no, I understand that they may have fixed it for a reason. I think that with people getting on the whiny train about Elitch's feet, E. Kane getting Terran, I think we're going to see E. Kane just tear some people up.
Is it just me today, or does Jeremy's voice sound annoying?
As opposed to
it's just you.
I don't think it's
same as always.
It's about the same as normal,
which is annoying.
Just a little bit more. Than
I hate
normal.
You all so much.
I was thinking he keeps talking. My God,
he does keep talking. Katie hasn't said anything.
Other people want to talk.
He was like, "Talk."
He's like nobody else is like E. Kane. Yeah, whatever. Fuck him. And Jeremy's like, "Oh, E. Kane. E. Kane. He's unstoppable now."
I don't think E. Kane needed help.
I'm not scared.
No.
You don't play anymore.
I still play.
So
I'm going to bring my stuff tomorrow.
In your mind.
You protect your caster a little bit differently if you have a Colossal. You make sure that you have cover for him.
Because E. Kane cares.
No, or you kill Terran.
E. Kane cares about fucking cover.
He cares.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have your caster like in a wall, behind a wall or something, behind your colossal, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, it just gets rid of the one douchey hiding method.
But I thought that was a good tactical thing. And I mean, it's been around a while.
Yeah, and it was dumb the whole time.
How was it dumb?
I hate
it when people hide behind their colossals the entire time.
Even that, I mean, honestly, how many times have you seen Terran out as well?
Well, I'm going to see her a lot more. But she didn't do anything before. She only was faction only.
She's killable.
Yeah, she's
also really
faction
killable.
Only. She still worked with like Nis hunters and shit. I mean, it's not like things that she affected weren't still common in lists.
I'm aware, but I mean, they weren't. Like I said, we'll see. The big problem is Ekane scares me, and then P. Krios scares me. But P. Krios, at least in Rhett, I don't know how to beat P. Krios other than hiding behind a huge base.
Just have the book pray no knockdown.
Right, in Rhett.
Bring the pirate suite. They're all no knockdown right. Also automatically.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You should bring the pirate suite.
You should
with
you kill, play a boulder.
You should right? kill his army from range, and he can't kill you. Kill him first.
Right, like the zealots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kill them.
Yeah.
Why don't you kill the zealots?
They're unkillable for a
turn. Then you engage them all.
Vialtrop purge them.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't actually engage them because then he'll knock you down and he'll walk around.
Yeah, they don't care if you engage them.
No.
He feasts. He knocks your whole army down and they walk around you.
Shut up.
They don't care.
Well, except your pirates can't get knocked down. We just went over this.
Right.
And if you Vialtrop purge...
So I'll tell you what. If the new character Phoenix has Lash... Then I will be less sad that Terran is no longer faction.
Can it also spend focus to destroy its own movement system?
Possibly. We don't know. Its rules aren't printed yet.
That'd be great. That's what I look for in Jax.
I don't need that movement.
No.
Movement's overrated.
It's just a shame that he can't literally wreck himself because he has to have a point in the cortex and the movement to get the focus. And then he'll wreck his movement and be alive at one point.
And be alive, yeah.
It's a shame.
It would be funny. All right, so did anybody else want to talk about... Well, there were two Rataratas, not that anyone cares, but they fixed the Rifleman because somebody was reading the Rifleman and turned out that the feat was worded. You had to be 8 inches from the UA. They fixed that, so it's actually 8 inches from whoever's shooting, which is good. And then they... Virus's feat, I expected to be fixed. They fixed it so that if they kill... If you have an attack that kills multiple models, you only get to move one guy instead of killing... You kill five guys with
they
one
just
attack.
Clarified it more fixed it. It's or pretty much every ratted it. I mean, it's
almost every ability works that.
Yeah,
way.
Exactly. Yeah. So I expected that one. So it was those two. It was Gaspy. It was
they fixed the big thing about Colossals and Gargantuan.
Oh yeah, you can do damage to them with a slam or whatever.
Which is
mostly like most important. The weirdest one I've seen is when you crit Dev with the Conquest, and then the Colossal takes
or,
their damage.
There's a Shay's Blow the Man Down is a non-optional crit slam.
Oh, okay.
And Thunder whatever from Kane is a slam, just straight up a slam.
Yeah.
Yep.
So overall, it was good to Rata. A weird Terran buff, which was fine, and then the Gaspy nerf, which was a little odd. But
it was a little funny because I mentioned on Painting with Menoth John when I was on there, I was talking about Terran and how she. I think that she would be something good. And I think the next day is when the errata came out.
I mean, it does make Terran playable, and you don't ever see Terran. So I'm all for seeing more models. I am just scared about what will happen with P. Krios. But she doesn't have stealth, so she is killable.
Yeah.
And I mean,
she's got tough.
Only if you pay for Ruck or two.
If you pay 4 points for her, she has tough.
Yeah.
And dodge.
And dodgy.
Wee wee. That was my dodgy noise.
So, yeah. So we'll see.
I don't know. You guys came up with the schematics.
Well,
for the
Brian had a topic
so
he wanted
next.
To talk about next. Yes.
Brian there has an opinion.
Well, there is an article on Muse on Minis about...
And also, he said he posted other places,
it's a thread, but it's basically improving upon Swiss. The article starts off saying there's the Swiss tournament format. And the article makes it seem like the Swiss format has tons of problems, which I don't agree with. But, I mean, it has issues, but I don't think it's... I mean, it's used all the time for a reason.
Yeah.
As one person said, it's the worst tournament format there is, except for every other format.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Benjamin Franklin said that.
I think that was Benjamin Franklin.
He was
so,
a huge
when I initially read this guy's thoughts, I was... Because normally, every 6 months, someone's like, hey, I have this great tournament idea, and you read it and you vomit.
That last one was awful.
Yeah, there was a couple...
The one from like 6-7 months ago was just horrific.
Which one was this?
It was some weighted math... Like, when you look at movies or whatever, and they have like the whole chalkboard covered in math equations, it was like that to figure out like your schedule. And it was like, are you shitting me?
Yeah, it was atrocious. So I look at this one hesitantly, and some of the... So here's the core idea of it, and I don't hate it, is my first opinion. I don't hate it. So that's my recommendation. Things I don't hate this for this idea.
That's
so
pretty
if you
good,
if
there are
you,
a lot of things you do hate.
If you win
a
game
a bitter old
by
man.
Cast or kill or by scenario, you get 5 points plus one.
Right.
Which is basically six, but you get 5 points plus one.
Well, scenario, you got 1 point per scenario point, which is if you win by would have been five.
No, if you win the game scenario 1-0, you still get five extra points.
Plus one. Okay.
Five plus, or if you win by two.
No, you don't. Not with his system.
Yes, it does. He verified it.
He clarified that it counts.
If you win,
you get six
five
points.
Plus one.
Okay.
And then there's one caveat about if the game went the dice down, if someone would get 6 points or not. I don't want to get into that because he wasn't sure what he wanted to do. I think, to me, for a tournament format, if you win a game, whether it's dice down via any method, cast or kill or assassination, those victories all have to be equal weight. Because I don't care if I'm playing a new guy and I assassinate him in turn one, or if I'm playing Jake fucking Van Meter and I go to dice down and I beat it by one fucking army point, that game is just as valid as anything else.
Right. Yeah, no, that's fair.
So I'm just going to assume that his final format is all wins are equal. If it's not equal, then the system's flawed at its core and I don't care about it.
Okay, fair enough.
So if you have a three-round event and you win all three rounds, you're going to have 18 points and you're going to be the tournament champion.
Okay.
If you don't win the game and you score like 4 victory points, you get 4 points for that round.
Four control points.
Well, not necessarily, because that's where the thing came up.
Let's say you're playing a 50-point game. For every 11 army points you get, you get one victory point.
You take
whichever is greater. So if I get 44 kill points and only 2 control points, I get the 4.
Right.
And they're talking about, well, what happens for those armies where you have like 65 points or something? You could get more than potentially 5.
Yeah.
But they're talking about capping
capping it at 5.
At 5.
Makes sense. Well, yeah. What I think you actually should do is divide the total army points by 5, and that's how many you have to kill to get a point.
Yeah,
let's
not tangent other things.
Oh, okay.
So let's not fix the system before we talk about
it. So that's the thing. So you win a game.
You can post in that thread.
So if you win a game, you get 6 points. You lose a game, let's say you get 0 control points and less than 11 kill points, you get 0 points.
Yeah,
and you feel bad about yourself.
Correct. So let's say a tournament happens. Nathan and me win our first two games. It's an 8-person tournament. Me and Nathan both win our games. We get 12 points each. We're going into the finals. Nathan caster kills me top of two with a new cool trick. Nathan now has 18 points and I have 12 points. Aww. Jeremy wins his first game, kicks a bunch of butt, gets 6 points. Round two, he fights Katie, and he loses, but he gets 4 control points, and Cromack kills his caster.
Right.
Third round, he fights Andy. He gets 4 more control points, but then Andy kills his caster.
Ron casts Force Hammer and dies.
So then, which has happened. Then at the end of the day, Jeremy went 1-2. Uh-huh. But he lost, but he gets 8 points.
I get 14 points.
He gets 14 points. I would have been 2-0, but I got 12 points. So then with this system, people with a worse record can place higher than people
with a win. Interestingly enough, some people in the thread were saying that they thought that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Because that means that the better players, like the players who killed more, who got more scenario points, who got more control points, but then lost the game, still are showing their skill in the final tally.
And unfortunately, I think that is, what's the word for it, bullshit, in my opinion. Because you're judging games. If I'm
right.
Because, I mean, especially if you're in, like, Jeremy's in the losing bracket, and if I'm playing the final game against Nathan, you know, he's doing, we're both doing well,
yeah.
And he wants to win, and it's like I'm being, you know.
Here's actually where it breaks down, and I haven't gotten a chance to post in the thread yet, but I was telling Katie this at home. The easiest way to break this format is it's really super simple. You play your first game, you get 4 control points, you drop all your focus, and you run at your opponent. They kill you. Now you're not in the winner's bracket, because he did say you pair up based on points.
Which is, I like that method.
But I will pair up against a loser because I have 4 points and not 6. So I will pair up against a loser, I'll crush their face because I'm in the loser's bracket because I'm intentionally playing the system. Then I'll play someone who's a win at 1-1, and again, crush their face probably, and now I'll always have 16 points going into the final. So I'll just get second place every time.
See, I kind of came up with a system that I thought about where, like, maybe just, like, you know, wins should be equal, so if you win a game, it's, like, worth 1 tournament point.
Okay. Wait, I've heard this one, but go on.
And then, like,
intrigue.
And then, but you need to kind of validate, you know, you don't want people to game the system like Jeremy's saying, so maybe the strength of their opponent should matter. So what you could do is you could add up the strength of their
schedule? How many wins they get?
Yeah, like their opponents. Okay. You see how their opponents did. Like, opponent went 0-3, and then their opponent went 2-1.
Someone find me a pen. I got to write this one down.
But control points should matter. So assuming that like there's two people that have the same strength, what do we call it? Strength of schedule. Right. Yep. You could maybe have control points be like a tiebreaker of some kind.
Yeah, of that. So if you have like people that have like equal opponents,
but the system,
then it would reward people who get more control points.
But what if I'm tied on control points, Jason?
Well, so the one thing this new system has that my system, by the way, I'm coming up with here, doesn't have is army points. So maybe that could be
I think that's a valid one to go with.
Yeah, that's a tertiary. Katie's with me on that.
Because if you're definitely able to take out,
it would be army points.
Yeah. So I might call this like French or cheddar, or some kind of either country or cheese. I haven't decided what.
Oh, Colby.
If I can think
the Colby scenario.
Is there Munster. Some kind of is there a country that's also a cheese?
Turkey?
Turkey. We'll go with Turkey.
It's very close.
American.
No. It's Merca.
America.
So basically,
Merca tournament.
Slightly back on track. Now, I will say some people don't like strength of schedule because if your opponent drops, like if you're going to the final rounds and your first round opponent does terrible or you have an opponent drops, you might, instead of getting like second place, you get fifth place. But at least you're going to be the second. Like the second place is still someone who's X and one. Where this alternate system, you can be. I just feel wins should. You shouldn't be able to lose more games than someone else and place higher than them.
Now, I will admit, now, this is something that I think I actually disagree with the rest of the podcast on. That's fine. Something that one of our locals brought up and is used in chess is that there's a way to factor in how good your opponent is. So that if you play three games in a three round tournament and you play Jake Van Meter, Keith Christensen, someone else good, help me out here.
Chuck.
It's just those. No one
sure,
else. Walter.
Chuck. Walter, there's lots of good players. I'm not trying to say that those are the only two good players. I just blanked. Anyway, so you play Chuck round three, and you win-win-lose against those three people. That means a lot more than if you go 2-1 and your opponents were me and Katie and
Jordan.
Just
pick it all three of
you. Well, people just pick on me, you know, locals. So, like, it just is. It should be. And in the current system, it's not. And that does bother me. Like, the fact that there should be some way to account for.
Well, but see, their strength of schedule for a tournament is going to be better. So that tournament.
No. My point is,
but they're fighting you. So
yeah, they're fighting me. So their strength of schedule is trash.
Yeah.
No, because you went 2-1.
Well,
in this example.
In this example, I did. But
yeah, and so they're probably going to win their other two games, the ones you beat. Like,
well, the problem that winds up happening is someone at some events.
Yeah.
Keith Christensen gets paired up against. We'll pick on Jake again. Jake Van Meter round one. One of them goes into the fun bracket, which we've talked about before, and just destroys it, just crushes it into the ground. They still get, like, sixth place because everyone they face has terrible records except the person that beat them that probably wins the whole thing.
Here's a potential way to solve that. Brian and I were talking about this before the podcast.
Okay.
How about first round, you don't count the strength of schedule?
Some tournaments do that where you don't count your first round opponent for strength of schedule. Because usually your first round is going to be – because once you get in the winning bracket, usually those people have a winning record. And if you start off in the losing bracket, sometimes it's
– So then Keith would be even lower in my example where he loses?
No. He would in that
scenario. Yeah, in that scenario, he'd place even lower.
Well, is it
– Because he wouldn't get any credit for having
– But if you lose –
The other one is if Keith – crushes round one, crushes round two, crushes round three, and then loses round four. The fact that he crushed bad people early doesn't tank him way down.
Right. Because his first round opponent quits.
His first round opponent went 0-4 because it was, you know, some 10-year-old kid who was just there to have fun.
Right. Honestly, in my opinion, if you lose round one, in my mind, you should be lower than someone who loses late. I mean, if some guy goes 3-4, if two people go 4-1, the guy who lost in round one should, in my opinion, be lower than the guy who lost in round four.
But that's not the way it always works right
It
now.
Doesn't. Strength schedule, always, no, it doesn't.
Yeah,
most
it does
of
often.
The time, strength of schedule is not perfect. And this guy that he posted, there are some new ideas.
This idea I could hypothetically stand behind if it wasn't used as a ranking system but was used purely to replace strength of schedule. So if it was you're 4-0, you win.
Yep.
Now look at all the 3-1s and do this math to compare them within each other. Now look at the 2-2s and do this math to compare them within each other. I could stand behind it as a replacement.
That still gets broken by I get four control points round one and intentionally lose in the
because you want to game the system to get second, good for you. If you're that sad that you're gaming the system to get second fucking place, enjoy your second place.
That's true.
I'm going to go there and try to get first.
Right.
And so, I mean, using it as the first tiebreaker instead of the actual tournament machine.
Isn't a terrible idea.
I think it's
not. And I do. And that's kind of where I was trying to go. You kind of jumped ahead of me. You stole my thunder.
Pacific Rim was good.
You are going to die. I bought Godzilla yesterday. Got the King Mothra.
Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters Attack. Yep. It's a good movie.
Because the other thing that I like about his system is that right now it feels like if you're playing an attrition list, you're penalized a little bit. As far as the second tiebreak of or the third, I guess it's the third tiebreak of control points.
Yeah,
control points equal better than army points right now.
This alternate system, by
and
the
this
way,
alternate system makes them more balanced.
Well, the other thing too is let's say
equivalent.
So yeah. Let's say which everyone, I like. Let's say everyone's playing fair. End of the day, Jeremy and Nathan both end with 12 points because a lot of people are going to end at 12 points sure. or 13 points. The tiebreaker
they're probably going to wind up like 14.
Well, a bunch of people at 14. The first thing is, if let's say Nathan and Jeremy are both at 14 points, mm-hmm. you compare them. Did Nathan beat Jeremy? If yes, that's how
then Nathan wins.
But the second option is you take all their opponents, you average their scores together, and that determines it. So they're still he still brought the schedule.
Right? Yeah,
so it still exists in the format.
It does.
It's just in a different level.
Yeah, I do like the idea of trying to change things up a little bit. And I do like that army points are equivalent to control points. I still think it would be nice to have some sort of there's a value for having played a better opponent thing. But I don't think there's any way to roll that in without horrid bookkeeping.
Well, horrid bookkeeping and potential just overall douchebaggery.
Well, yeah.
Going around where somebody's only caring about their internet number.
Well,
I'm a power gamer. I'm into this game only to be number one.
And so I roll into little tournaments and crush people, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, Europe uses a system like that. They have a ranking system where you have an e-penis.
Which is another reason why we shouldn't do it, because fuck those guys. But except for the guys who listen to us, they're awesome.
Yeah.
But the rest of them.
But, like, I mean, I've read some threads, and they've talked about it, and they said, in general, there are a few people that douchebag it out, and they're like, all I care about is my score, because I'm awesome.
Yeah, but the same most people are going to douche it out with just coins or anything.
Yeah, they're going to say I have coins. They're going to say I did so such kind and such at the last con.
But at the same time, though, if you have another stat that you can track and keep and build upon,
yeah.
there are people who are going to do that. And you can't get, you know, faction coins every single time you go to a tournament.
And that's called the ELO system, by the way.
I know what it's called.
Well,
I was just saying
you should at least.
It's from chess. Yeah, I also know that.
People listening might not.
Yeah, okay, I was trying to.
Electric Light Orchestra. Who are way underrated.
Don't bring me down.
But even to follow that, that's a much higher level tracking system. I'm just talking about like local events. I guess my main point is that guy's format was interesting, but there is just a lot of fundamental issues with it.
There are. And I agree that more wins should be better.
Yeah. Can you math it out? Like, if you do 2 points per win instead of 1 point, does it math out so that the people who win actually win?
Well, if you break down the points, then he did this 5 points plus one because you can get up to 5 control points, and it just
well, right? But you
she's saying
five plus two.
All bonus plus two.
Because then the people who win are just naturally going to get more points, and it's harder to game the system.
No, I don't think there hasn't been discussion of that, but that could be a possible idea.
But yeah, I think there's some numbers that could be crunched there. I think there is room to improve on the current system. I don't know if there's room to improve on it without introducing difficult bookkeeping for TOs.
And that system just punishes you so badly if you lose a game quickly, which you shouldn't be.
Not even necessarily quickly, but it can be a long game where you don't necessarily get a lot of kill points or control points. Like, if there's a long, grindy game against, like, a double Galleon Bartwist that
trolls
play for
versus
an hour and a half against it, doing really well, grinding it down, and you leave both galleons almost wrecked, and then he kills your caster. Like, it's like, I just played really well for an hour and a half and got zero army, zero control.
That is definitely so frustrating.
There's this excuse to the system, and I don't know. Tournament systems are the most – how a tournament is scored is so important to me. It keeps me interested in the game. I've left other games primarily because of a bad tournament scoring system. I can't play up in a bad scoring system. So to me, it's such an important key element.
And I think, honestly, what fixes most problems with the Swiss format or the American format is Deathclock. Just play Deathclock. Because most of the
there are no tiebreaks then.
Because who cares about tiebreaks? You won or you lost. End of story. You got your caster killed. Thanks for playing.
Well, it's still strength of schedule comes into play to see if you get like
No, it does. But like at the end of the day, most of the really negative play experiences that I've seen at tournaments, not all of them, but most of them, were I tabled the crap out of my opponent. They went for a 10% assassination. They got it. I lose.
Well, that can still happen in Deathclock.
It can't. Yeah. Well,
it's a dice.
Not the 10% chance on a kill. But like they had one beast left and it happened to be in the zone. And that was all they had, and it was worth more than
all. They had two models left, and they took 10 minutes to move those two models because they knew Dice Down was going to get called.
Yeah,
because that's happened to me before, where like my opponent would have one control point, but if I got another turn,
he's playing ELO.
Oh my god!
But if he had allowed me to get another turn, I would have just killed him.
Yeah.
And those are really negative.
I don't know. I What if they did something like they did the normal scoring, and then they did this thing? Because this can be written in a program in, like, Excel, and it'll just happen. The guy would put it in the Discord. But and run them simultaneously for a while, and if they come out to about the same results...
If they come out the same results, then why would you even
change?
Well,
I mean, the same results, but people are happy. Like, you could... Yeah. You,
well, and
you know,
but that's the thing, is that they'd have to be subtly different enough. Like, if they're the same, what's the point? If they're different, then which one was right? And there's no tangible way to claim
and
that.
And you have to... When you do this... Like, when you do Steamroller, in round... Let's say you're doing a four-round event. In round two or round three, you take all the two and ones, and you just shuffle them together, and you hand them out. In this system, you take everyone who has 14 points and they fight. Everyone who has 12 points and they fight. Everyone with 11 points and you fight.
That's how Doyu does it, though.
No, because regardless of the record.
Okay, regardless of
record. All the two, everyone who's 2-1 just fights 2-1s. Even if one guy has 10 control points, one guy has 0. This system is very important. One of the basics of it, which is the one element I like a lot, is everyone who has the most control points fight each other. Whoever has the most scores.
Yeah. So if two people got just crushed in round one, they play each other as opposed to I got crushed and I play against this guy who played to dice down with 4 control points and oh man, I'm going to get tabled.
And that happened. Like that happened. Whatever players, he's an average player, but he just plays for fun. In round one, he got crushed really bad. In round two, he just got paired to another guy who just crushed him. Where in this system, he might have had a more fun.
Yeah, he might have played someone.
Which
who
is
was...
one element I like a lot, but there's still enough other things that make it too rough.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if you ran it simultaneously with the other format, like we all know our meta as well. Enough to know who should be on the top, and we can see if that's the results that we're seeing.
No, because that's actually like the whole any given Sunday thing.
And like it's like, oh, well, with the one method, Jeremy got third, and with the other method, Jeremy got sixth. Well, who says which one was the correct placement for Jeremy?
Should Jeremy
to have gotten
third or sixth?
And there's no like.
Well, I mean, the correct answer is I should have gotten sixth.
Yes.
But if it was someone else.
Yeah, but then the other way, Nathan got third, and of course he wants that third.
Yeah. But no, like, because there is no like mathematically provable correct ranking, there's no way of knowing which is quote unquote better. I mean, that's the first thing. Like, the thread I'm using on Mini is called Fixing Swiss, and I read that, and I was like, I didn't know it was broken.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and the tone of the article was kind of like, well, there's obviously all these known problems. Like, nah, I mean, there's like the because every so often some guy will go four, he'll go to a big tournament, he'll go 5-1, and like I got fifth instead of third. You know, and then he like rants on the forums for 4 weeks, and then he creates his own little system that's crazy.
I agree. The only time I really ever see anybody have a big issue with Swiss is when they don't win.
Yeah,
and if you won that event, you would have been first.
I also really think something that we do often here, and I guess we don't always do it, we usually do it, is finals table. So if you play...
No, we don't do that anymore. That shit's dead.
Okay. I actually really liked the finals table idea.
No.
I really did.
No.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
It's awful.
Why?
Yeah, we...
Because then it is completely fucking random who gets second.
No.
Yeah.
No. Who gets third is completely random.
Who gets third is 100%. Who gets third is 100% random, but you get second because you played well enough to be in the finals.
Okay, there's 3 undefeated people. You shuffle them. 2 of them are on the quote-unquote finals table. Fuck you, other guy.
That is the problem with the finals table.
I mean, also, it doesn't allow... If you lose in the second round, you cannot win your way back up. I mean, it takes out any
you can't get
other...
Second, yeah.
Yeah,
it's, I've seen final tables. People usually are okay. If you go to a big event and the event goes 5 or 6 rounds, people are like, when there's only 2 left, they're like, okay, those two can fight first or second. They'll sometimes do a first and second table.
And a third, fourth
and a
table.
Third, fourth. But that's usually when you have like a 6 round event. Or people, yes. Everyone's like, okay.
In small events, it's too random.
Well, in all events, I don't like it at
and
all.
And let's be honest, the randomness we're talking about usually is a problem at a small event.
Right.
Yeah. The only problem with finals tables is when you have an uneven
number
of
finals
players. So, you know, like you said, where you have 3 undefeated at the end, you know, you have to basically choose who's going to be the person that's not going to be.
But you don't have, you know, if you have 3 undefeated, you don't have a finals table, in my opinion.
Well,
finals table is if you have
then
2
undefeated. The one who is randomly chosen to fight the pair down, I mean, he's.
So if he wins and then one of the other guys wins, then you have a finals table. And if the guy that was the pair down loses, then you just didn't have a finals table and you figured out from strength to schedule.
It's hard to do that because then you have these different expectations.
Yeah,
I used to like the finals tables. Travis, that's one thing Travis has successfully done is he has convinced me that Travis finals tables is poor, and I have agreed with him.
Yeah,
Travis is like, yeah, I showed him math.
He swayed me to his side, and then I was like a grim, a worm tongue. I like was the Madison infiltrator who tried to beat the finals table out of us because. Yeah.
I agree.
I don't like it.
I'm fine with it at big events where it's 5-plus rounds, but in small events,
but
I don't
what is it? You don't, I'm curious what you don't like about it.
It's all not that I don't want to do it offline, but it's too much of a boring rant.
Okay,
I don't like it. It's just not fair. It's just not fair and balanced,
and it exacerbates the basically single elimination nature of Swiss. Yep. Because you can't get pulled back up. You have to go undefeated until that last game, or else you're getting nothing higher than third. And third is
but
just a random crapshoot.
But there's so much more stress
shoot.
When you are in that undefeated chain, is my point. So I think there is value in that.
But strength of schedule will usually naturally show that as well. If you are in, if you lose and then you fight bad people and you go 2-1 that tail end and you had an easy coach, you're going to have a weak strength of schedule and you're not going to get second or third anyway. Yeah. But if you go into the loser's bracket and you fight somebody who, like in your example, like Keith and Jake fight round one and one of them is in the loser's bracket and then you beat them with your second round and then there's some real, you know, your third round is against, you know.
My strength of schedule is still terrible because now Keith has two losses.
He'll win his third round.
So he'll be...
The point is you at least have a chance. You at least have a chance.
I guess.
I've seen some of the best strengths of schedules come out of losing brackets so, more often than winning brackets sometimes. It gets pretty crazy.
Prime example at Daikon, I almost made it to Masters because I decided to stick it out and play out for the rest of the day. And I lost my first round against Keith.
Right. Well, I mean, when you lose against the person that goes all the way, obviously that helps your strength of schedule.
Right, but with the finals table, it doesn't.
He could still get third, and he wasn't going to get second anyway.
When you have finals table, I mean, third by default is a pretty random position. When you add in the finals table, third is even more stupid. It just gets
stupid.
I agree that it makes third more crazy. I think it makes second better.
I'll reverse it. Let's now look from the example of somebody trying to claw their way back up to second. Let's look at the person who gets second. Someone can coast to that table and not deserve it.
Yep.
You can beat.
Oh yeah, you can beat just. Somebody got lucky round one and played.
I don't like people coasting to second.
And that's happened enough. We did finals tables for probably almost 2 years.
Yeah,
and we had plenty of examples of the second place kind of getting a lucky call. And the guy who got, as I figured out strict schedule, something. And the guy who got third coin, strict schedule was so much better than the guy who got second. I've seen the guy who gets second probably sometimes should have got fifth, but you know.
But he just coasted in.
He just coasted in.
I mean, sometimes you get a lucky draw, and you know you get a 3 second instead of what you should have got a fifth.
Yeah.
That penalizes everybody else.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, fair enough.
There was something else we were going to talk about, but I didn't write it down. You guys talked about.
There's more work on that eventually. Yeah. So we'll probably talk about it eventually later.
Maybe that was the guy's first draft. Maybe he'll tweak it and maybe it'll look cool. I mean, I don't know. But at its current format, I have a lot of concerns.
But it's not awful.
No, correct.
Like that one, the previous one, when it was like you divided by the number of turns that the game took, and then you like took the square root of something else, and like it
was insane.
So yeah,
you
it was insane.
When you graduate from high school or even college. All those math courses you shouldn't exactly need in a hobby.
Don't be hating on Team Age. Don't be hating on Team Age.
TV.
What?
He's the one that does the math articles on mom.
After last episode of our podcast, he tested me on Facebook. He was like, he gave me his Blizzard hand. He was like, let's kill some demons together.
Nice.
So now we're Diablo
buddies. Team Age is my favorite.
But I friended him, and then I looked, and he has like a whole bunch of like level 60 stuff with hundreds of hours of Inferno play, and I've got like my level 12 something.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, I'm outclassed.
Yeah. Team Age seems like somebody who would really play Diablo.
Also, I like recreational math.
Yeah.
Math is fun.
Well, not if you're trying to figure out for the next round.
Well,
sometimes 60 some players
doing a tournament.
60 some players or 30 some games you have to figure out.
One of my hobbies is when I see like random sequences of numbers, like addresses or something like that, I try to figure out what math equations I can use with those digits to get it to equal exactly zero.
I don't do that. I usually do things
when I'm on long trips.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's 27-14. Well, I can do like 7 + 1 divided by 4 or you know whatever. Ooh, that would be a tough one actually because
I have
+1.
Really boring friends.
Come on, that's kind of fun.
And wife.
What else are you supposed to do on the car road? You can do that, and you can look to see how many words you can make out of
you
the
You do the alphabet game where you can take the first letter from words on billboards, and you have to do A through Z in a row.
No.
No, well, because some of them are just too hard.
Well, Q, depending X, and Z you can take from license plates.
Depending on what state you're in. J is really easy.
Big one. Like my family trip that we would take as kids up to my grandma and grandpa, it was always a race to get those letters before we get to Highway QQ up here in Wisconsin. That shit was coming up. We're like, I got to get P, god damn it.
Man, I've gone on so many long road trips with like Ben and Mo, and I swear most of the trip was talking about horse. Like 80% of the trip.
I thought you liked horse.
Horses?
Whores.
Yeah, you put them in your trunk.
Whores.
Who puts a horse in their trunk?
No one.
But whores. Whores you do put in your trunk.
It was fun because it was me, Ben, and someone else, and we talked about whores, and they were all like concerned because we talked about whores for 8 hours.
I thought that was Jordan.
He thought they were. Jordan was concerned. He's like, are you guys serious? It's just hilarious. They're like, no. Like, it's just our whore talk.
I just enter the time machine, and that works fine with me on long trips.
We were talking about math.
What happened here? Hey, yeah, I do math for a living. By the way,
you did something about quickbooks.
I was using math to try to figure out 30 some games
in a half hour period to try to figure out
the next round.
Yeah,
that's also unnecessary.
FYI, Katie, you were the one that told me you recently discovered something that everyone else has always known, which is that most accountants are incredibly boring. You told me you figured that out recently.
They're accountants. Of course they're boring.
Right?
I always thought we were thrilling.
Except for the accountants at the beginning of Monty Python's Meaning of Life, those guys are exciting.
Yes.
They're like killing people and sailing a building. No, Katie? Not a Monty Python?
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. I'll show it to you. It's good. It's Crimson Permanent Assurance.
Yeah.
It's accountants and they're pirates.
So speaking of accountants, that Kickstarter for Preventure Press is going pretty good.
Yeah. Are you looking up the current number?
Yeah. I mean, might get it faster.
Hopefully they don't pull out. What was it? Tim Schafer? Is that the guy who did the video games who fucked up?
Huh?
Psychonauts and Brutal Legend and whatnot.
What do you mean he fucked up?
Well, he had a... He did a Kickstarter. He was like, I need $400,000 to make this game.
$600,000.
Sure. $600,000. It's like, okay. I need $600,000 to make this game. So it exploded. He got $3.3 million. And he was like, and then he's like, guys, I ran out of money and the game's half done.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. They're like, wait.
Wait a minute.
$400,000.
Let me... So now he's like, yeah, we'll release the game as is, and then we'll use the sales from it to pay for the rest of it, and then the people who paid for it will get a free DLC to finish it when the second half comes out.
So he fucked up like, guys, I'm sorry, we ran out of money.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, I think with Kickstarter,
the benefit of the doubt I'll give him is that hypothetically what could have happened is that shitload of money got thrown out, and he's like, "Oh, I better make this game amazing," and he made a $6 million game instead of the $400,000 game he was planning.
Well, the problem is when you say
either that or whores.
Well, yeah.
Horse.
When you say stretch goals, like that's why I'm always concerned with your press stretch goals. Like, you know, for X amount of money, I'll keep adding these other things. Well, everything you add involves more money to pay someone else to code those things, and eventually,
if you don't
balance that out right,
those stretch goals have to be stretch, not stress. Those stretch goals have to be paid for by the extra money.
They probably consider them stress goals.
Yeah.
Like, please, God, don't add anything else. You guys,
if we make $4 more, everybody gets diamonds. Well, wait, that's there's a negative return there.
And the thing with Kickstarter, it's like, you know, they're not legally obligated. You know, it's an attempt to make something. It's not like I will give you this item. But
you're
not buying a product. You're buying the promise that if that guy gets complete, he will for sure give it to you.
The product,
I mean, if he makes it, doesn't give it to you, then I think there's like legal. But if he's like, oh, I failed.
Then
I'm surprised, like someone
that's kind of like that.
Well, people sometimes ask for like, I'm going to do this project. I need $20,000, and they get like $500,000, and they fail because they didn't have the equipment prepared to handle those things.
Yeah,
but I'm just wondering why people like, you know, when they get like million, like this guy gets $3.3 million when he asks for $400,000. Like, why does he just take out a fucking plane and go? Because that's his money now. Sorry guys, I failed. My project failed.
Well,
so
and then like
shucks to be you guys. And
there's a big cautionary tale.
Gotta be, because for that much money, you could probably do like a class action lawsuit against him or something. So like,
if there's knowledgeable fraud,
but it's all
there's gotta be some kind of legal obligation to make a good
think if you offer
the product.
Yeah, they offer the add-ons and stuff like that, you have to give them something for it.
Well, someone go read the terms of service Kickstarter, because I'm not going to fucking do that shit.
Yeah.
And tell me exactly what is
accurate. Already read like 8 contracts in the past 2 weeks.
I'm sorry.
My other favorite recent one besides Tim Schafer was Glory to Rome, which is a great card game. The guy was going to do like a super awesome edition of it, so he Kickstarted it, and he made a shitload. He got a shitload of donations, and then everything went horribly wrong, and he ended up having to sell his house to scrape up enough money to give people the promised copies of the game. My favorite part was that his business partner and his girlfriend both spoke Chinese, so he was using them. He was going through China to get cheaper production of it, and then both of those people ceased to be in his life. So he's like, I don't speak Chinese, and I've got all these Chinese contacts that I'm supposed to be working with.
Oops.
Yeah. Like, well, like, at least
he didn't like he messed up. He didn't check a box on the shipping label, so all the games were shipped in a pallet that another pallet got put on top of because he didn't check the "don't put shit on top of my pallet" box.
Oh,
so the game just got crushed, and yeah, he ended up having to sell his house. And
that's terrible.
Well, it seems like those would be insured.
Yeah.
Like, if he had done it correctly, that would be insured.
Well, obviously, so, if he had done it correctly is a key portion of this story.
He probably didn't check the box that said insured in Chinese.
Yeah.
But the Private Church Press Kickstarter is at $814,000.
Yes.
I want it to reach. It needs to reach.
How much of that is
million.
Plummer and Foster going out to eat at TGI Fridays every day?
It has to reach 1,299,000 so I get the
Haley.
No,
1.5. Mission 1.5 ret as a playable.
Yeah,
faction.
We don't. No, I wanted to stop just shy of 1,354 to keep all the Merc players out, just make them sad. I want to be $1 short of that goal.
$1,353,999.
That is what I want to think.
I'm actually really happy. I really want to see what the jacks look like. I know we'll hit the apotheosis jacks, but I want to see what like the behemoth looks like walking around.
I'm going to run freebooter spam if they're playable faction, baby.
Yeah, all the apotheosis and the apotheosis casters as well.
Yeah, those are much later.
That would be
though.
Really sweet if we can see Karchev.
Yep.
Just
Terminus.
Terminus anime. Just all four of them are. Well, besides, I want Darius when he walks around.
Skirt.
No, I want Darius when he walks around to have toilet flushing and sloshing. That's what I want.
It's like goddamn lid on it, too.
I think the only thing they could have done better with Kickstarter is a 3,000-point level wasn't very enticing. Wasn't
well, clearly enough. No one did it. I mean, there's yet to be one person.
And they
should
have had
level.
Something between 350 and 3,000. Like, if there would have been like a $500 or a $700 thing that had just like with me, I think that 3,000 thing could have been at like a $500 or $700 thing. That could have tempted a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been really tempted at
or even 1,000. I think they could have even
gotten 3,000, which one is that one?
3,000 is you get your face saying something on a ruin.
Yeah.
And the 5,000 is you get that same thing, and then also they make a portrait of you in Warcaster armor.
It seems like they could have done the portrait.
Did anybody do either of those?
Yeah, three people have already done the five.
They
only
skipped
five
all
options.
The way up to it.
There's five options for $5,000, and three people have already done it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because the portrait in Warcaster armor seems like the cooler of the.
Yeah,
well, it is.
If you have $3,000 to burn, you'll find the extra two.
$2,000 and do $5,000. Yeah,
so
exactly.
They should have made a slightly better. They should have had like $1,000 thing and they made the $3,000 better. I think they would
they
have sucked out a lot more money that way.
They could have got away with a $500, $750, $1,000 in there.
Or at least one or two.
At least one more level, like in between somewhere between $350 and $3,000.
I potentially could have been sucked in more. I mean, I gave
you
them $350.
Let's be honest.
I would have given them.
If that was $1,000 to put your face in the game, you'd have been like. Take my money.
Yeah, probably.
Hey, we already have potentially the Crippled System logo going on.
Oh, yeah, that's totally going to happen.
I am in Metal Gear Solid 2 for free, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. You a beta tester?
Are you sure
in
it's
it,
not
or?
Just an Irishman?
No, it's legitimately me because go play Metal Gear Solid 2, kill as many guards as you can, one of them will be me. Because what they did is they wanted all the guards. Like, there's like 500 guards, and you can collect all their name tags, and that's like their blood type and their age and like their birthday and everything. And so they just had like, hey, send in your info. We'll pick random people,
and, you got
and I'm in there.
Nice.
Oh, awesome!
I can kill Nathan. You're saying
you can kill me?
Excuse me.
I may have to go buy a game.
I already own it. I could just go kill you now.
I don't know my blood type, so I put B positive because it's funny to say.
I could actually load up
or
my save
negative
for it.
Also,
I have like a whole bunch of dog tags. I wonder if you're in there.
That might
be
kind of
funny. Anyway, the other thing about
that game was good until the villains were artificially evolved AI in the basement of the White House.
Yeah,
like what? Wait, what?
That's a problem with Hideo's games. Is there really awesome, cool storyline, and then suddenly. He has like the retarded version of what's his name that has all the twist endings.
M. Night Shyamalan. You know who has the retarded version of that? M. Night Shyamalan.
But I mean, no, worse though.
He just goes, Mark Wahlberg is negotiating a hostage situation with a plastic tree.
To be fair, he didn't know it was plastic.
That's true. He didn't know it was plastic while he was negotiating a hostage situation with it. He thought it was a real tree. At the end, it turns out to be a plastic tree. Yeah. That's the twist.
Wait. What?
Yeah. In The Happening, they go to hide in a house, and there's like a potted plant, and Mark was like, hey, okay, now, plant, we're just here to stay here. Don't attack us, potted plant. And then it turns out to be plastic.
I've never seen the happening.
The happening's great for the first half hour.
The first half an hour is so good.
It's so creepy. It's just people, like just people just sitting down in front of a lawnmower and like people. Yeah, it's so creepy. And then you're like, it's evil trees. The end. Except it's not even the end. It's people running away from trees.
Oh, like, wind.
Wind, yeah. Oh, no, it's the wind. Run! And they're running away from the wind. And Mark Wahlberg's trying to get trees not to attack them. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Did you read this script and then make the movie? Why?
Are we...
Why?
Have we just connected the dots? Is M. Night Shyamalan actually Hideo Kojima?
He might be.
the exact same person.
I want to see Michael Bay redo this movie.
Because you're... Oh, my God. But let me tell you... Oh, listen. So...
Star Trek.
The happening was good until you found out why people were killing themselves. Yep. That's what ruins the fucking movie. Like... Let's look at Sixth Sense, one of the possibly two good movies that he made.
I would agree.
Never
Sixth
seen
Sense
it.
Is amazing. I like Unbreakable. Some people disagree.
I actually like Unbreakable.
Signs
too.
Is Unbreakable. Decent, okay as well.
Mm. I like those three.
Those are his three
good ones.
Potentially good ones. But let me ask you a question. Here's a little trivia question for you. In The Sixth Sense, why is Haley Joel Osment's character able to see dead people? You don't know because it's never fucking explained because the movie's better that way. Because you don't need to fucking know. He just can.
That plant taught him.
God! Like, why are people committing suicide? They just are. The movie's creepy and cool if everyone's just committing suicide. Do you know why the birds are going evil in Hitchcock's The Birds? No, you fucking don't, and the movie's good because of it.
Well, like even Dawn of the Dead,
why are there zombies? Nobody knows.
That's why it's creepy.
You don't need to know why the zombies are coming up. They just fucking are because it's the premise of the movie. It's called a MacGuffin. Don't explain your MacGuffin, just throw it out there and make a good movie.
Monkeys.
Flying?
That was 28 rabies. Days later, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. No, and that was actually the big problem I had between, it's kind of odd sci-fi thing, Star Trek and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars never explains anything.
Well, it does in the prequels.
Well,
I'm talking about... Okay, when I grew up with Star Wars, they didn't explain anything. Right.
Thank God.
And that was the problem I had with Star Trek, like Next Generation. It's like, oh, here's this technical thing. Technobabble, how this works. Like, I could care less. Just do it.
Your enemy.
Oh, yes.
Well, I hate school. It's the joke from The Simpsons that people use all the time, like, the wizard did it. You know, why did that work? Well, a wizard did it. Well, okay. Yeah. Like, I'm okay with that if it works for the plot. How was Gandalf able to, like, magic and make that bridge collapse, whatever? He just could. Because the plot needed it to happen. Because
he's fucking Gandalf.
If you make the movie work with that, you don't need to belabor those explanations.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you don't have Marky Mark talking to a goddamn plastic tree.
I have to watch this movie
So Kickstarter had these models as part of it. Not that I'm not enjoying the tirade.
No, this is good.
I cannot wait for this guy. I can't pronounce
which one.
Akios.
Oh, that's Crick's one.
Play
go
the
fuck
living
himself.
Shit out of him.
He is going to leap around and drag casters.
Yeah, because
in
because I'll be teleport because Cro-Mac wasn't scary with just leap, so we had to give him a fucking harpoon when he became Crick's. Hey, give him stealth.
He's only got a 6-inch range on that harpoon.
Well, to be fair,
after
I'll
he walks and leaps 11.
To be fair, I'll be
17-inch drag range.
I will have Scavris TK him forward and TK his opponent closer.
Well, of course.
To be fair,
that's okay.
Oh, I thought you were going to have Denny. Pete any feet on the target model so that...
Well, that'll be another game, too.
So,
Scavris and Inverted are going to make love every game. I'm molding them together.
Yeah, not going to matter to me. Not going to matter to me.
Yeah.
Well, I can care less about him.
Why?
Because I have trolls.
Yeah, you can't
they're
drag
on medium
them.
Bases.
Oh, yeah.
I am surprised he's a small base. He looks like... He looked kind of like...
He looks medium
looks
base.
Huge. I thought he would be a Black Ogryn with the rules and the picture.
I
agree. I'm surprised.
He looked like a Black Ogryn.
It might be a misprint on the rule sheet, too.
Good night, Katie.
The Rhett one is by far the worst of all of them, which makes me sad.
No, I don't think she's that bad.
She's got the coolest picture.
She's got the best picture. I'm going to buy her just because her model's amazing.
I'm just going to buy that art.
But which one do you think is better? Is worse than her?
Where the fuck's the picture?
I put them away.
The Merc,
son of a bitch. Get the pictures
The Merc one's really good. The other side, Andy. The Merc one's really good. And people are going to want to take Galleon out of faction with him, which I think is probably a dangerous idea, but whatever.
He'll be safe. The thing is, if the Galleon's front edge is at the center line, his back edge is in your deployment zone.
Yeah, I know.
Like, he's far enough back.
Yeah, he's way back there. So he's going to be good. The Signar one is going to be great in, like, a P. Haley list, where she just wants all of her focus every turn.
Fascinating.
Yeah, that rep model is so amazing. Mm. But P. Haley's going to love the Signar one. I don't know if anybody else in Signar likes the Signar one, but P. Haley does.
I think she's solid. I think all of them are solid in their own retrospects. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, not the Rhett one, though. Like, what do you do with the Rhett one?
Play it. Shut up.
Play it, yeah. Throw it on a field.
I'm going to, but...
I mean, until you really see it on the field, I think her counter charge is actually pretty sweet. The problem is, though, is Rhett doesn't really have that many cheap jacks that you can really throw on her.
The only thing you can put on her is, like, a couple griffins.
Play my guy with all jacks. He's a killing machine.
Yeah, but yours guy has a fucking harpoon and leap and shit and stealth, and she has none of that.
She has mat 6.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mat 6 non-reach. With 4 focus.
Sure.
Sidestep.
Sure, but speed 6, no reach.
2 initial. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, I agree. She can be a murder machine herself. Like, playing her as a super solo seems like a legitimate play.
For 3 points, they should probably let her knock herself down at least once per game. When I think 3-point melee solos, they need to be able to inflict status ailments on herself. Oh, no, it wouldn't work for her because she could fucking shake it.
I want the new War Machine book. Hold on. I want the new War Machine book to be called, you know, War Machine Party Time. And then just everything in there has got binge streaming.
Yeah. But they give all of the other ones, like Dead Rising or
Exactly. Yeah. Except for the mercs. They just all get medic.
But like, the other ones are legitimately amazing. The Kador one is going to run a Conquest better than most Kador casters do. Like, legitimately better.
I do like the new the Signar version of Sturgis. He's so badass he doesn't care that his head's on fire in the art. Like, he just looks at the side of his head, it's just on fire. He's like, whatevs. Head's on fire.
He's fucking Sturgis. Bitches. He doesn't care. I think he could be really good. He'll be interesting. But, like, the Kador one's really good. The Menoth one's really good. Like, Menoth just loves getting
the other thing, though, too, is who knows what kind of new jacks you might get in the new book.
Right.
The new jacks
could be amazing.
I don't understand the whole fire coming out of the head either. It just doesn't make any sense.
I'm sure there's supposed to be something behind him, in the art, but
it's his stacks for his...
it's his warcaster stacks, armor. Except warcaster armor. It's literally just positioned exactly... Like, behind you can't see the stacks.
Nope. No.
And it's not just smoke coming from his head. He's perfectly positioned where the bottom of the flame is on top of his head.
Yep.
It looks like an afterthought.
It kind of does.
Like, he needs to have some kind of smoke coming out of it. Like, there he goes.
Done.
Yeah. Set him on fire.
It's like somebody took a magic marker right before he went to print.
Yep.
So is there a reason that your Rhett one can't just be three free focus every turn for Hyperion?
If she runs the Hyperion, which is the worst of all of the Colossals, then yes.
The worst of all the Colossals?
It's the worst Colossal. It's not the worst Gargantuan. It's the worst Colossal.
Man.
Okay. Galleon has it outclassed by Country Mile. Judicator has it outclassed by a country mile. Conquest has it outclassed by a country mile.
Well, I'm going to back up that one. Conquest maybe is better than it.
No, it's definitely better. In its faction, it's definitely better.
Why?
Why?
Because what they need.
Especially that in its faction. What do they like?
Because they want one good jack that does work and has a gun and also good in melee.
Yeah, they had Behemoth.
Yeah, so for their other list. Because Behemoth's a character.
They had Beasto 9,
which had no gun.
That they cared.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kador has not exactly always been a shooty faction.
It's not, but in your non-Behemoth list, there are very few lists where Conquest isn't the right choice.
You shoot Dying Suns.
Kador.
Do you remember my comment earlier about Jeremy's voice being annoying?
I was trying to come up with
Katie,
something.
Katie, talk more than Jeremy. You're talking too little and he's talking too much.
That is very true.
No, he won't.
And he just keeps going.
You gave him sugar.
You gave him a whole bunch of sugar right before this thing.
I apologize to everyone that hears his voice.
I brought those over so you guys could eat them.
I will eat some more. Give them to me, and I'll eat them after the podcast. I mean, I'll eat them now, Jeremy, and it'll annoy Andy. Ha ha ha.
No. Because I want one more when we're done.
We're done.
Fuck you.
We don't eat on the podcast. We are a organized podcast.
Not true.
No, we are completely true because we don't eat at this podcast.
That's true.
So this is going
at least
up on
not
Wednesday.
Food.
This is going up Wednesday this week, and we're going to have a Better Pork going up Friday. So we're going to be all over the web.
Oh yeah, that's right.
This week,
the next
very exciting.
I know that I'm not a player, but I'm the non-player third person in this battle report. I want to do that again sometime.
Was it fun?
It was fun. Also,
one thing
you can be part of our battle thingy.
Sure. Okay.
The one you and John are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we need to do here as well is, and I just saw a couple compliments on it, and it kind of is true. We need to make sure we have painted armies in our battle reports.
Yeah. No.
And that was my bad. I probably should have.
Well,
made sure.
And probably not proxied models.
Yeah.
Well, that was
proxy. He was proxied.
There was only one model that I proxied because I didn't have the book
with
me.
My army was fully
so
painted.
Unprofessional. Mine was fully painted.
Mine will not be
and
fully
badly
painted.
Played.
Hey,
it doesn't matter. You will have two guest stars that people will enjoy.
True.
In fact, people demand that they'll have a camera looking directly at you during your
What?
Your video.
Our viewers,
I thought you were talking to Nathan.
No, I was talking to you.
Me too. I have decent cleavage. Katie and I probably have the same size boobs.
I think you versus our Meneth John and Nathan doing commentary will be a good...
Yeah, I agree. That'll be a good
video. Well, if you guys recorded this week, it could be up in a week or so.
We're about to... My house is about to get a 20 meg upload.
Yep.
So we'll be able to upload things a lot quicker, so... It'll make it less hassle for me.
And we picked up a second camera for the podcast so we can record more. So
one of the two users who sent us a really sweet Zappity Gremble shirt has given us permission to use those for the public. I'm still waiting for permission from the other person. Once we get those permissions, we're trying to move ahead with some stuff. But we're trying to get all the proper permissions and things set up before we get things out to people. But
no, definitely.
Yep. I would definitely like to see us take some stuff to Gen Con for people. I'd love to go to Gen Con and make a few extra shirts up and just either sell them or give them out to some people.
Who's
Speaking of which, the t-shirt winner from way
Chris Stewart,
back then.
Who, in our never mind. No, apparently that'll be topical soon.
Yeah.
It could be topical now.
Anyway, I mailed that today during lunch.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. We can move on to that.
Zappity?
Well, no, but we have Katie's got a corner.
Right, we can do that first.
Katie's corner does usually go first. That's true.
Katie's corner.
How would we know? There's been 1 week she's been here since Zappity Gumble.
That's true. And every time that she's been here.
Oh, fuck
every
you.
Time that she's been
Shut
here.
Up. Your Katie, voice.
Katie's corner.
God, Jeremy.
Happening now.
So punchable. Wow. Sheba. Go on, Katie.
Shiva.
Shiva
Kamina.
You betrayed Shiva.
What?
Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom.
Oh.
The League.
It is the third best Indiana Jones movie.
I really enjoy The League, by the way.
The League is a great thing.
The League is good.
Fantastic.
It's solid. Well, that's John LoJoy, or I forget how to pronounce his name.
Jav Labadoo?
The one guy who does the funny songs.
Yeah, I know.
His videos on YouTube are hilarious, too. Yeah. I love Show Me Your Genitals. That song is so catchy.
I like the one where he's going to start a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
That one's fantastic.
Just send me your money.
So I won't have to talk to you again.
Is that the one where he talks about he's going to take a picture of him burning a $50 bill?
Yeah. That's his $50 reward.
If you send $50, I will burn a $50 bill. If you send me $1,000, you can tell someone you talked to me.
You can't really talk to him.
But you can tell somebody people. That you did. Anyway, go on, Katie. It's your corner time.
Oh, yeah.
Katie's corner.
So we've talked briefly. Well, sort of. This is... So way back when, there was an article called Playing to Win. We talked about it. But what I want to talk about today is adjacent to that. And it's something that we've discussed here. And it's a killer instinct. And not everyone has one. And it's something that you're going to need if you want to learn, if you want to get up to that top tier. So one thing that I really struggle with, and I've been told by some people that I do this, is if my opponent starts to feel really bad that they're losing, I stop playing hard because it's not fun anymore. And so then they catch up to me, and a lot of times it'll result in me losing because I didn't just go in for the kill and make them shut up that way.
So they start whining, they hit you with a combo breaker, and you lose your killer instinct.
Yeah, I get
you. See
I
what
get.
I did there? Yeah.
By the way, I like your game. Other option where you are beating somebody, and then they whine, so you beat them faster, so you can get the hell away.
Yeah,
I like the way you phrase that. That way they shut up and go away.
Hey, that's sometimes, I will do that sometimes. Like, okay, I was playing a game, they start whining, okay, I'm just going to freaking, okay.
Well, that's what you should do. That's what a good player does do.
But you don't want to rush, because sometimes you rush to kill them, so they shut up and then you make a mistake. So agree with the idea.
The idea is you put your boot on their neck. Just stand for a while.
You sick Jeremy on him so they could talk at him for a while.
Yeah.
I hate you guys.
I have a feeling I'm not the only one who does this, but when you feel like your opponent's either not doing very well or not having fun, to make it interesting, you let them catch up with you. And then sometimes you can't recover from that because you needed that lead because they weren't really behind, kind of a thing.
I boggled Jordan the last tournament in Milwaukee because I put him in I tested his killer instinct to the extreme because things were going bad for me. I should have had, I was going to lose. I should have had a 20% ish assassination run, like a last ditch thing. But first, I need to kill one model, and I had like a 99% chance to kill that model, and I failed at the 99%, not the 20. And that's what annoyed me. I was just so mad that I couldn't succeed in the 99% to then fail in the 20. I would have been fine with that. So then I'm like, whatever. So I dropped all my fury and ran Carver forward and turned him around. I'm like, whatever, just fucking kill me. And then he didn't want to. He got like confused, and he's like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, you kill me? And I'm like, oh, well, I do something. Like, just fucking kill me, Jordan.
No, that's actually a good point. I actually do that against some opponents. If I don't know the person, or if I'm feeling cocky and I know I can put them on tilt, I will put my caster in a spot where they should be able to kill it, but it's such an aggressive move that they're like, what do I do? Because I mean, I won't do it. I won't drop on my focus.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, I was literally committing suicide, but I know what you're saying.
I'll put them in a danger zone on purpose. I won't give them like an 80. I mean, I'll still keep the odds, you know, low. But I definitely give them a chat, and then sometimes they just don't expect that,
yeah.
And they melt down. So or they have a really good killer instinct, and they screw you. But I mean, most times, I did that one tournament. I won first round against a new player. I'm like, well, he's new. I want to see how good this guy is. So if he does everything right, he'll kill my caster right here. I'm just like, I was testing him out. It was just like, you know, and he didn't. He almost got me, but he didn't quite. He kind of saw it.
He didn't see the whole Rube Goldberg contraption.
He saw part of it, but it definitely is an interesting thing because killer instinct is critical, and sometimes you have to test people. I do that a lot on my casual games.
Yep.
That's when how I judge people when I play them in tournaments. I know who has the killer instinct or not, so I know how to play against certain people.
But yeah, I mean, and you have to watch yourself when. So as somebody who doesn't really have one, you have to watch yourself because you'll do things that aren't necessarily bad. They're just not the most they're not the optimal move. Like when we were playing Lords of Waterdeep that one time, and I was kicking Ryan's and Jeremy's asses all over the place, and they were whining about it, and they're like, "Well, we'll just finish out the game because we may as well finish it out." I started doing things that just weren't optimal. Like I was still completing quests and whatever, if you guys have played it before, but I wasn't doing preventative measures. I wasn't taking something that was good for me and also hurt them that I took it. I was just taking whatever was good for me. And so you have to watch yourself because it's not always that you're doing something intentionally poorly. It's that you're not doing as well as you otherwise could be doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the end.
That makes sense.
And it's value.
And I think it really does. It separates the. It's possible that it's doable to be a really competitive player without a killer instinct. But in general, what separates casual players and competitive players, one of the things is having a killer instinct.
If you don't have a killer instinct, you better be good at attrition or scenario play. I mean, I think you have to acknowledge the fact that they kill.
Well, except you have to boil it down. I mean, if you aren't willing to beat your opponent.
Yeah.
I mean, why are you playing?
Well,
I mean,
it's not that
I know it's because they're demoralized. It's like there's a difference between winning a game and like beating them down to a demoralized level, and that's where you get the trap. Is like I beat you, that was a great game, versus you are weeping openly because of how much fun you're not having.
And there's the other level where you can take it too far. I've known players that all they want to do is play against people that they know they're 30 times better than, so that they can just crush their face and make them weep openly in public. And that's the only game they enjoy playing. And you can take it to that extreme. And those people are no fun to play either.
Yeah, those are the guys that go down to the game store and only play against certain people.
Because or they only play a brand new player. Yeah. Those people are not fun to play
either. Or they only play like two powerless, or they'll like pick up a whole faction just to play like the really broken Haley and other Haley. And wait. Are we still talking in hypotheticals?
It's funny because Jordan.
I mean, the other thing you get, and Jeremy does this because he's an asshat, is he will be in a good position, but he'll talk to you and he'll weep and he'll complain to try and make you think that he's not. To try and make you feel like doing worse.
John Damaris sits down to every game of War Machines he's ever played. He looks at the table. He looks at the two lists. He goes, "Man, this is a really bad matchup for me. I'm not the only person that does that."
Well, no, I had somebody do it to me. Not this most recent Defcon, but the one before. I ended up getting second in the Theme Force tournament overnight because the winner, who is a good guy, I mean, I'm not going to go whatever, but I had his number because I was playing the Constance Blades Theme Force, which is all Blessed Weapon Masters, and he was playing Baldur's Theme Force, which is all the Baldur 2.
Yeah,
like all. all the, I got all this armor, and it's like, no, you fucking don't, because I have blessed weapon masters. So I had the trump card, and I was whooping him. And, I mean, he did a really good job, kept the game close-ish, but I was going to win, and he really was like, ooh. And so I pulled back. No. I eased up, and I went for an assassination. I actually kind of did the opposite. I tried to end it more quickly with, like, a 20%. No, it was probably a 75%. I think it was, like, a 75% assassination, whereas if I had a just attrition him, I had 100% victory chance. Yeah, and after, so the 75% failed, and he beat me. He's like, yeah, I do that on purpose to throw people off sometimes. I was like, oh, you bastard.
Yeah, it's, yeah, like, that, it's a real asshat thing to do. You're not the only one who does
no,
it.
No, it's a yeah. very common board game tactic. It's a problem. But, I mean, it's in board games, I don't mind it
well,
as
some
much.
Board games, it's literally the, like, the only thing you
That's
do.
The point
like,
of
the four-player
game.
Version of Game of Thrones, I forget which book it's named after, but the four-player one, literally the whole game is 2 hours of pretending you're losing.
Yeah.
That's all you do.
And there are a lot of board games where you want to do that in. But when you're playing War Machine, and if you're whining and complaining about how you're doing so bad, and then you win, you're literally spending an hour and a half just making your opponent's job. You're just ruining
out the fun. To be fair, Katie brought me up. I don't usually do this for War Machine. I will occasionally sit down, and I'll look at our two lists and go, well, fuck me. I'll make a comment to that effect. But I don't spend the whole game going, well, sure, because you're stealth. I mean, yeah, that's how I feel, because I play Rhett, but...
So it's a very... I mean, and I know some metas are very big in trying to psych out there. I'm not going to call them out, because I think it's... Obviously, psychology is a big deal, and I know some of the big metas, and some people don't... They don't talk about it in a podcast.
But they do it.
They do it. They know they're... And that's a big key to their metas, just to really psych out their opponents and really try to be dicks as much... Not really dicks, but they just try all these subtle...
The game isn't just the norm, it's also mental.
If it's the norm in the meta, then it's part of the... It's meta. Part of it. Because like you're saying, like, there's board games, so that's part of it, but if it is, like, I love the board game Diplomacy, and that is all... There is no randomness. There is nothing... Literally, the only skill in Diplomacy is convincing people to help you because you think it's in their interest or that there's other people that are a bigger threat than you, and that is how the game is played. And it's not a flaw. It's not that you're playing it wrong, but there's other games where that is wrong.
Yeah.
And it depends on the context.
Yeah.
And if they're meta, that's how they play the game. If part of their meta is that psychological warfare, more power to them. It only gets weird then when metas mix.
Metas collide.
Right.
Speaking of which, I'm terrible at Diplomacy.
Yeah, well,
just terrible. Yeah.
Well, that's because you lack the killer instinct and you don't you don't play the game psycho.
Well, no, people just like no. Nathan is ridiculously good at convincing people to do the exact opposite of what they should do. I have no idea how you do it.
Man, did I have Mo in my pocket both of those games of Game of Thrones too?
Oh God, I want
like,
to kill myself.
That is a skill that I have in military board games. Yeah. Like I'm good at getting people to be on my side.
I have no idea how you do it.
I don't know, because, man, do people want to punch me in the head. Like, going into Diplomacy, let's just destroy Nathan, because fuck that guy, and he's the one who brought the game, and we can't let him win his own game, and he's the only one who's played before, so we definitely can't let him win, and then I was one of the survivors at the end. Why wasn't I wiped out?
I guess I look at it as I had, you know, if two people had 16 territories, you had one, and you consider that, and see, to me, that means you survived with the skin of your teeth.
No, I'm not saying I won the game, I'm just saying I wasn't, like, going in that, I should have been the first one eliminated, because all six of you were like,
Nathan. You had England, so you were safe. Weren't you English?
Yeah, no. See, the
you
thing,
were,
I don't
you,
remember.
You got
yeah,
lucky.
I was
you
sure
got
was
luck. You got to see. You would have been
wasn't
killed.
Italy. If I was Italy, I would have been destroyed instantly.
That's why I don't like Diplomacy, because you're seven players. Is it six?
It's seven.
There's seven players, and two players are immediately eliminated on turn one. And then you play a five-player
game. It's interesting.
There's
interesting studies on that, and it depends on how much you play it. If you play it a lot, it's for people who play it once or twice, that's very frustrating. Like, you play it once in Italy, and you're mad about it. But they've done stats, in Italy and Austria lose the most, but they also win the most. They never tie.
If you don't kill them early, they win.
If you don't wait, because the way the game works is...
Oh, I completely agree.
You can only
build
on your own front, so if they can crush to a corner, like if Austria kills Turkey, now all their reinforcements come in against their only front. Like, now they got a safe front. Whereas if you're like Russia, you spread out and your reinforcements are way in your back lines and you're hard to wipe out. And so it's kind of interesting. It's all or nothing but those middle ones. Yeah.
My thing with Diplomacy is I don't like one element games.
Yeah, and that's cool. It's cool to not like Diplomacy. It's a very unique game that some people love, some people hate.
Well, that's why I don't like Resistance, because it's just one style game. I prefer to play Battlestar that has that plus other elements.
All right,
but I mean, it was fun for what it was.
Andy's making weird facial expressions.
That was
Katie's
corner. Killer Instinct, get one.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
How are your feet doing?
I'm still angry at Nate Newby for killing me at Diplomacy. That's what I want to say about that.
The best moment of that Diplomacy game, though, was when everything's going well, and, like, Marshall's part of an alliance, and Marshall's like, hey, guys, I'm moving to Iowa. And then the next year, Marshall was dead. We're like, get out of our game, you fucking Iowan.
That worked out well.
On a related note, I miss Marshall.
Yeah.
I was talking to him today.
Were you?
I have his shoes.
He needs to move back.
I think they might have been rented shoes. I'm not sure. When he was here for that last tourney, when he and Keith were here, he went to a wedding during the tourney. And then he left, and there were dress shoes, like tuxedo shoes, in my apartment. So, hey, Marshall, if you're looking for those.
Pretty sure those
I have some rental tux shoes.
Oopsie doodles.
I think
I'm not sure if they've anyone already written would them want off those afterwards.
Huh?
I'm not sure if anybody would want those.
You don't
afterwards.
Want somebody's shoes.
All right. Do we want a zappity?
Yeah.
And some grumbles?
No, we don't do that right now.
You do it in between.
We do it after.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
Guys.
Just talk.
Shut up, Jeremy.
Is it recommendation time?
No.
I recommend Pacific Rim.
The Lightning Round?
It's evil Twitter thunderstorm.
Evil, yeah, that too. All right, but I don't do the sound effects. That's other people. It's
zappity!
But we don't do this yet. You have to give us...
No, you always do it before I read a question.
After.
After.
It's a segue.
Oh, I'm so confused. Okay. So I've got our first question here.
Grumble.
Yes. Go fuck yourself. I hate you so much. Die in a fire. All right. We're going to start with Katie. Best Godzilla flick.
I've never seen any of them.
I know. I just wanted to hear you say it.
Okay. Not even the Matthew Broderick one?
There's a Matthew Broderick
one. Oh, that's a lot of fish.
Nathan, yeah, that was awful.
Nathan, give the correct answer.
Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters, All Attack.
Next question. And moving on.
Done.
And possibly the one next year. Zappity!
Favorite color scheme, studio, or yours, or someone you know?
None of these questions are in the thread I'm looking at.
No.
Like I'm on Twitter.
No. Oh, gotcha.
Just like a color scheme?
Yeah, like a paint scheme.
Like a certain model, like you like certain factions color scheme.
What's your favorite color?
I like blue.
Okay.
Done. Sure.
Purple and green look good together. Although it can look too Barney the Dinosaur, but they are very good complementary colors.
All right.
I've seen some pretty sweet black reversed retribution colors.
The reversed red does look good, I agree.
Ben's black and red that Jim was doing look good.
You should see Matt Shannings.
Okay.
That Greg Gammons did. It is amazing looking. I like black and orange.
I changed my mind. Okay. I like the purple and gold bronzy thingy that I'm doing with the couple of circle ones.
My Crix was purple and bronze when I did them.
Yeah. I actually really like the scheme that Katie and I worked out for my Rhett, the like three models that are painted with it. The blue and dark green. I think the dark blue and the dark green. I think it looks really good.
There's no green on your models.
There is. What is the other color besides the blue?
It's two shades of blue.
Oh, well, it's a bluish green.
Our lightning round is so
all right. Zap anyway.
It! Grumble!
Who would win in a fight between a rabid badger, a starving mongoose, and Jeremy?
A badger.
Badger.
A badger? Yeah, badger. Obviously. Badgers are the best.
Is it a honey badger?
Yes, because it don't give a shit.
It doesn't give a shit.
I already answered. I said it was a badger.
Yeah, but zappity.
Well, oh, are we going? Well, yeah.
I agreed with the honey badger.
Zappity.
God damn it, Andy.
Grumble.
There we go. Thank you. Best of the new journeyman, Andy.
I like Akios.
That's the Crix one?
Yep.
Correct.
Everybody's saying it's retribution, man. And you just give me pretty good and I'm being in the man with Jeremy Jeans.
Thank you.
I can't take a man in the country with a woman, but if you can't take a man in the reach attack, if it's a part of the matter, it's not that reason, and it's within the 2 inches in the way.
I can get behind that.
I have no comment.
Zap it in!
Remember.
Any of you guys into Brandon Sanderson? Also, how about a Merc list in the next video battle report?
Brandon Sanderson, my name is very familiar to me. Sanderson?
I have no idea who that is.
I think it's an author?
Is it an author?
I recognize the name.
I do too. We're failing at lightning in this one.
Is Brandon Sanderson? Sanderson? That's not
Google
the...
that.
Google that. Google. We'll answer that one later.
All right, we'll come back to that.
And I don't still have my mercs, sadly. I got rid of like half my mercs. Otherwise, if people didn't mind unpainted, I would do a mercs for the next battle report.
That would be kind of cool. Brandon Sanderson.
What did he write?
American writer, best known for his Mistborn series.
Never heard of it.
Oh, I've heard of Mistborn.
And he's the one finishing Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series, too.
Yeah.
I've heard he's good.
He did do a really good job with
it. I avoided the Wheel of Time like a fucking plague.
I love the Wheel of Time.
I'll tell you a true story that, you know, I'm a horrible person, this is fine, but I avoided it like a plague because we all saw what was going to happen with that series, i.e. never finished after book 38.
It got finished.
So, sure.
Somebody else.
So, I go to work one day, they got the newspaper on the table, I look at the table and it says, like, beloved author Robert Jordan dies, and I laughed for a fucking hour. I could not stop laughing. It was so funny to me that he had died. Like, not ha-ha, he's dead, but ha-ha, the millions of people sitting at home going, no!
So, but they already said someone else was going to write it.
So in next year when Martin dies, will you be laughing?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I'll be on the other end of that joke.
Yeah.
Hey,
payback's
so
a bitch, ain't it?
Finn from Glee died. I was sad.
I don't watch
Glee
because
from
sucks.
Heroin and drugs.
Was he one of the high school
kids? Heroin and alcohol is how he died.
I think God personally shoved heroin into his system because Glee sucks. Well, God's like, I must stop this travesty.
Honestly, I could probably be only on the show if I was on heroin. Because then I'd be thin, too.
That's true. That would help.
I thought that was crack that made you thin.
Jonathan Colton stealing bastards.
Really any kind of... I don't think I've ever really seen a overweight heroin addict.
Yeah, heroin junkies are always amazing. It's heroin chic.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, heroin chic.
Okay. Move on.
So, Grumble?
Is E. Haley, Stormwall, Gaston, Galley, and Taryn the new Broken?
I don't know what that means.
So, like, no.
No.
I don't see why that's a thing.
Do you have a dissenting opinion?
Like, what does Gaston and Galleon bring to it that a second Stormwall doesn't? Like, I mean, it looks scary, but it's not.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed.
I mean, I wouldn't be happy with it, but I don't know.
I mean, if I have my Taryn against it, I'm not too caring about
that
it.
Yeah, that too.
Haley doesn't offer anything to the Galleon, really.
No. Not
much. I mean, the thing is, the Galleon's scary with Bart because of the armor buff. It's scary with things that could maybe, I don't know.
She
don't
offers another turn for it to get into position.
Guess so. Yeah. So does not dying because of Batten.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Zappity.
Is Andy ever going to finish that sweet Earthborn conversion or the Mulk? Katie?
Wait, where is this at?
To be seen.
Nathan?
He primed him, I think.
It's primed there, too.
Yeah.
Brian?
Where is this at?
Right after they finish Mammoth? Mammoth.
Question mark.
Andy?
Hey, it's in there.
My answer is that he will finish that slightly just past he finishes the Mammoth, so like a month after Hellfreeze is over.
No, the Earthborn and Mulgar actually being they're primed, ready to go.
He's going to finish his models before he finishes Brian's. Come on now,
just to make Brian cry on the inside.
The Mammoth base is almost done. It's in there. You can go look at it. It's almost done.
3-1 and 1-3 are easy to mix up, especially when Brian tells it to you wrong.
The wrong way.
Where'd you see that?
That's on Twitter. That's all I got from Twitter. All right, so the Twitters are done.
Facebook since?
Yeah, nobody gave me the Facebooks to read.
There's one issue here that says, for everyone but Nathan, how many sexual fantasies has Nathan had about the movie The Dark Crystal? I'm not sure how you're supposed to answer that. I'll give you over-unders. You guys can guess. We'll play Price is Right.
I've read your journal. 37.
Brian got it in one.
Yeah, Nathan shouldn't have read these.
I'll read them.
Because it doesn't... No, I mean... But he already knows what they are, though. Because, like, the first one is, okay, more traumatic for Nathan, Two Girls, One Cup, or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Definitely Star Trek.
Two Girls, One Cup had lesbians. Like, I was with that until about, like, 5 minutes in when shit got weird.
5 minutes.
When shit
like,
got real.
It was, like, it was like 30 seconds.
Shit got real pretty fast.
It was, like, 20 seconds.
There's phases in that.
Oh, God.
No, it gets awful at 30 seconds, but it's an awful I've seen before because the internet exists. It gets horrific in, like, a minute, like, two. It takes it an extra step.
Okay, I've
see,
never
I never
seen
made it
to
the extra step.
So...
That's the great thing. The great thing about watching the reaction videos is, like, people are like watching it, they're like, oh, okay, they're like, oh no, oh god, that's gross, oh, that's horrible, and it's that second when it really shifts into overdrive that's
and
the
I've
best
I've never made it that far.
I don't think
what
I
it happens
either.
When they shift into overdrive.
You just have to go watch it, okay?
No, I don't want to.
All right, spoilers.
No.
You are not going to spoil Two Girls, One Cup on this episode.
I think it's been out there long enough.
No,
my point is we don't want to hear it described.
This podcast can't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have limits somehow.
Andy's slam dunking. I was going to make it vague. There's,
no.
There's
snow. No.
And then there's things.
No.
And then the thing is horrible again.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
But,
poop.
And my theory about Rob. No, Zappity.
Zappity. My theory about Grumble.
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors, or slap bets?
Slap bet.
I've never done a slap bet.
But you want to, right?
Yeah, kind of.
See? Slap bet.
I kind of wanted to.
Right?
Yeah.
What's a slap bet?
It's from How I Met Your Mother.
Well, it's not just from How I Met Your Mother, but they made
I
it
love
famous.
Slap bets.
They made it famous.
Slapsgiving.
Slapsgiving, yes.
Slapsgiving. I've never watched that show on purpose.
No,
it's been
it.
On
so
during
good.
My breaks. It's good. I enjoy it when it's on during my lunch
I
breaks.
I actually will say that's the only show with Laugh Track I can watch and still enjoy. And I actually am laughing so much, I don't know.
You don't even know it's Laugh Track. You're laughing so
I love that show.
And that's, you know, if it's a laugh track that's in the right spots and you drown it with your own laughter, that's
I
want to
go.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go watch just all the Slapsgivings back to back right now.
All right.
Zap it in.
Grumble. Not very enthusiastic.
No, I really wasn't.
Next one here is from our very own Hacksaw, who is personally responsible for the gasping earth.
He get through a temper tantrum. I'm going to call Privateer Press and wave my dick around.
I love that someone said that. Like, how dumb are you people? No offense to you who said that, but you're idiots.
even if Hacksaw, like, after losing, said, I'm going to make some calls and I'm going to get him nerfed, it's called joking. I would 100% believe he'd say that. I also 100% believe he wouldn't actually do it.
I actually half believe he already knew the nerf was coming because he's a playtester and just thought it would be hilarious to say that. I honestly believe that's a possibility.
But anyway, so we're going to start with Brian first here is create your own Jaeger and its signature weapon.
It's catchphrase. Jaeger.
Jaeger.
Yeah. Create my own. Why would I create my own when Voltron exists? And he has a blazing sword. I don't understand. There's perfection.
What the hell's a Jaeger?
All I can think of is Jaeger bomb.
Oh, seriously?
Why didn't you guys see Pacific Rim?
He's the only... Jeremy is the only...
He is the only... Create your own kaiju battling giant robot.
Jeremy's the only male I know that's not seen that movie. The only one.
So what does that tell you about Jeremy then?
I'm just saying.
Not a male?
Yeah. So,
your secret's safe with me, babe.
Grown-ups 2 made more money than Pacific Rim.
Fuck you.
But luckily, I don't know one person who saw Grown-ups 2, but I know like 2 dozen people.
Well, I think the thing is no one that saw it wants to admit they saw it.
One thing, though, at least Grown-ups 2 did make more money in the U.S. than
worldwide.
Worldwide, Pacific Rim still beat it. But
God, I hate people. Like, why do they exist?
So what's go on? What's your
nickname? I would be called the Nihilist, and it would spray acid all over the people it's supposed to protect. Because fuck you, people. Why did you see Grown-ups 2?
I want something that can fly. Unicorn. I want a unicorn.
A unicorn.
Does that exist? Butt stallion.
Sure, why not? You can have a giant unicorn that fights aliens.
Why not? Sure. Brian stole my answer.
She didn't say she was going to fight aliens. She just wants a giant unicorn. She's going to fly around. Like, they're going to be destroying Tokyo. And she's like, whee! I'm flying! Yay!
I don't know that she specified it was a flying unicorn, did she?
Yeah, she did. She said she wanted to fly.
Hey, that was Rainbow Bright, like, I want a robot can run on the rainbow.
I want a robot that can fly, so I'd take a unicorn. Not like a bird or some shit.
No,
obviously, if you want something that flies, it's a unicorn.
Unicorns don't fly, though.
It's a Pegasus unicorn.
Yeah, Pegasus flies.
It's a mix.
It's a pegacorn.
It's a pegacorn. Go, Jeremy.
It's a Unisys.
What's your robot?
Brian stole my answer. Voltron, all the way. Oh, no. I'm sorry, but I love Voltron. Voltron was formative to my young.
Mine would be a flying robotic taco that would fight prison style.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Under prison rules.
All right, we'll make it for the last one. Zappity!
That was much better, guys.
There you go.
This is the last one.
No, there's like a ton more. No.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said the last one. I don't want to read this next one. It cusses.
So? It's sexy when girls swear.
No. Swear. You got to say it. You got to say it.
Yeah. Do it all sexy.
Say it in a Russian accent.
Do it.
Oh, my.
Dirty.
Can you say it in a Russian accent?
It's supposed to be Russian accent. Come on.
Yeah. Russian accent.
Okay, here you go, Nathan.
No.
We don't want to hear Nathan's Russian accent.
Come on.
Or just say it. Come on. Just say it.
Jam or jelly?
That is not it.
That's not it.
That doesn't have dirty words.
I can't say a Russian accent.
Then just say it.
That's fine.
No.
Say it.
The internet wants to hear you swear.
Look it into Jeremy's eyes.
I don't think I'm okay with that.
Come on.
Say it.
I'll say it later.
Oh, come on.
No, Jeremy's going to say it. No. Move on.
That would ruin the internet. I can't do that to them.
Oh, yeah, no, that one's great. Come on.
My love for you is like a truck berserker. Would you want to making fuck berserker?
Come on, Katie, you've seen Clerks.
She hasn't.
Did he say making fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
No, that's a line from the movie. Yeah. Did he say making fuck?
Yeah.
I hurt my throat a little singing. That's not really a question, technically.
Zappity.
That's just a
zappity.
Grumble. Yeah.
Whoa! Mind blown.
So, it's a quick lightning round question for Katie. Where's Chris's shirt and dice?
It's in the mail. It is in the mail, along with an apology-ish note.
Was it in your purse?
Apology-ish?
Well, I never actually say we're sorry. It took so long.
She just says it took long. Kind of like there's a Dunkin' Donuts. She just states that it is late.
Hey, this took forever. Fuck off.
I love that. Speaking of the Dunkin', people were shocked we took Nathan to a movie. They're like, why is Nathan there? They were like proud of amazed that we would take him out.
Yeah. This is Zappity.
Oh, I didn't know there was more. Grumble!
Yeah. Zappity. We have a couple more. What Mercaster would you go versus Crix?
Brian. You're the Crix one. I was going to say Durgan. My go-to Mercaster against Crix is Durgan. He has lots of infantry control. Primed shuts down Tartarus. And they, depending on their build, Pathfinder can protect you a lot from like Bane Thralls and stuff like that. Or not Pathfinder, in-hospital terrain.
In-hospital.
Anybody else? Quick.
Brian, you got an answer?
No.
All right. Grumble?
Zappity.
All right.
Zoopity?
Bazinga!
Jammer Jelly?
Bojangles.
Jammer Jelly?
Yes.
Jam. I've never...
Yes. Jam.
I agree, yes.
I will go with Marmalade because it makes me think of Paddington
Marmalade
Bear.
Is the worst.
But it makes me think of Paddington Bear.
Yes, but Marmalade is like the devil found jelly and ruined it.
Yeah.
All I can think
about...
Because
it has like whole orange rinds and shit
it's
in it.
Gross.
All I can think about is Paddington Bear with his hand inside the jelly and thinking of it like, how the fuck is he going to get that out of his fur? Because I had a toy bear. And I tried to make it eat marmalade.
Yeah.
And
it did not go well.
I could not get it out of his fur.
I would imagine not.
When you say you tried to make him eat marmalade and you couldn't get it out of his fur, is something in there a euphemism?
No.
So you guys that are reading up, did Travis have a... Because Travis always says that we don't read his questions.
Travis didn't have one this week.
So I was going to specifically call out and answer all of Travis's questions, and I don't see why.
I'll get a random Travis question from my Hangouts conversations with him.
All right.
Here we go. Zappity!
Grumble.
How are you tonight? That was the most recent thing he asked me.
Fine.
So go on. How are you tonight?
I'm okay. I'm a little chilly.
I'm amazing.
I'm wonderful.
I miss you, Travis.
There you go, Travis. We answered a question for you.
Also, his previous question was, Crix? Just one word with a question mark.
So we got...
Zappity.
Grumble. We got Charlie Foster III, top two tournament Mercasters. Durgan.
Durgan and Damiano. Maybe Shay. Like, there's a couple really close ones. Gorton is super up there, but he takes a lot of fucking skill.
And Shay doesn't.
Man, I didn't give him enough go before. He's got some stuff.
Damiano is pretty sweet, though.
Damiano's very solid.
I think most Mercasters are pretty solid.
P-Mangus theme.
Wow!
With all freebooters.
I had somebody, I think it was Menoth John, was trying to understand the Madison hate of Pete Magnus, and I could not explain it.
Well, he's a terrible caster that can't win a game. Other than that, he's fine.
Somebody in the thread where, like, two episodes ago, they kind of bumped in and said, like, why do you hate him? And they list the things they like, and one of the things they said is that his feat's good for, like, going out, smashing some shit, and then moving back to contest or control his own. And I'm like, you know what else does that? Any two-point solo.
Yep.
Like, you smash out, and then you just run Reinhold in there. Congrats, you contested or controlled the zone, and you have a feat that doesn't blow ass.
Okay, we need to hurry up so we can get in our quick recommendations.
Yeah, this has gone pretty long.
But we have, like, three more real quick.
What? Zappity!
Grumble. Crix forums are if the Crix forums are to believe, now that Venefrex has to share a room with Gatsby 2, who gets a top bunk? I'd say Gatsby too. He's cooler.
Terminus.
Top bunk is always... Oh, you don't want Terminus on the top.
Yeah. That's a party right there.
Yeah. No, they snuggle. Yeah.
They snuggle?
Yeah.
Same bunk?
Same bunk. I also don't know what that question means.
Well, Gatsby's so bad that he has to room with...
This nerve totally made him unplayable.
He's broken.
By the way, just a side note to everybody who says that, go fuck yourself. Like, get out of my game. Like, how can you... Seriously, you crying piece of shit.
But in a friendly manner.
No, but Nathan means that in the nicest way possible without a killer instinct.
God.
Yeah. So
I might actually need skill to play a game. Boo-hoo-hoo.
Fuckers. Zappity!
Derp, crumble.
Derp a derp.
So, worst example of nerfing the wrong... Kraken or Angry Orchard Cider?
What?
Kraken or Angry Orchard Cider.
Angry Orchard Cider.
I've never had the Kraken.
Yeah, you.
It's a black spice rum.
Yeah. You would not like it.
It's a spicy rum. You would not like.
Then cider.
I'll go with the cider, actually.
The cider was actually really, really good.
It is really good. I've had Angry Orchard Cider.
Mellow Yellow Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
RC-10.
Yeah. RC-10 all the way.
Combo! So one more math? No, that was it. Then why the fuck did I just happen to eat Grumble?
Right? You guys are tired.
God damn it. You said there were three more and that was two. I was paying attention. Motherfuck.
My feet are
cold. His was really just more of just a...
You ruined...
It wasn't... What?
All right, recommendations. Let's do it. Let's do this thing.
I have two recommendations. I recommend the show Merlin from Netflix. Enjoyable.
It is.
My stepdaughter and also that nonstop for like the last week.
It's also apparently the breeding grounds for every actor that was in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like every time we watch this, oh, look, another Game of Thrones. Oh, there's another one.
It's pretty good. The special effects are nothing to write home about.
No.
And then their skinny cow has like these chocolate caramel things that are delicious.
They are really good.
Well, it's chocolate and caramel. It's going to be delicious. Right.
No, I mean, it's like really good. Like it's some of the best
rich
that I've ever
chocolate
had.
And caramel is the greatest thing in the world. And healthy.
Those are my recommendations.
Good for the heart.
Chocolate Shop ice cream has a new flavor with caramel in it called This Shit Just Got Serious. And nice. I love that's the name of the ice cream flavor. And it's got like sea salt, caramel, and chocolate and shit. And it's delicious.
That does sound good.
I don't know if I can put in this.
I love Chocolate Shop ice cream. They have a big sign on their wall with the nutritional value. And it says, don't ask. It's fucking ice cream. It's bad for you. Duh. Like, go eat a carrot if you care. Get out of our store.
It would be even better if it said, go eat a carrot if you care. They should add that to their sign.
It says, if you want healthy, go eat carrots. Like, do not eat our ice cream. That's on that sign.
Nice.
You can't make good food without it being...
No.
I mean,
we were grocery shopping
food.
The other day, and Raylene grabbed, like, I'm like, cottage cheese, hooray, and she grabbed this, and I look at him like, this is low fat, you whore. You put that back on the show. I mean, I love you, Raylene.
She doesn't listen to this.
She usually listens to, like, the first 5 minutes, and then stops.
Well
to be fair, that's most of our listeners.
That's true. She hits that plus 15 button like it's going out of style.
300 people have watched me eat a sandwich. I'm depressed.
But how many of them liked it?
I don't know.
It's got the gauge. Jeremy?
My recommendation is that everyone should come to our house and have Katie bake cookies for them. Because whenever she bakes cookies for other people, I get to eat them also.
What about, should they have her bake a souffle?
They should, because that was also hilarious, and it's probably my favorite story involving Marshall.
Scared Marshall.
I have a secondary recommendation. I just stole Pacific Rim at the beginning to screw over everybody else. My recommendation is for an animated short, and I'll link it in the thread because it's only like 10 minutes long, so everybody should watch it. It's called The Danish Poet.
Hilarious.
It actually does have some funny stuff in it, but it's really cool because all it is it's the filmmaker explaining how her parents met and so why she exists. And the story is really, really cool and interesting. And it's kind of mind-blowing to think about, you know, any of these dominoes would have prevented her from existing at all. Hmm. It's kind of like in the Watchmen, the novel version, which I really, really love. There's a whole chapter that's just Dr. Manhattan explaining how he became Dr. Manhattan, which is the whole reason the world is how it is and on the brink of nuclear annihilation. And, like, it traces back to, like, he stopped to tie his shoe one day. Like, it's amazing, these little things that cascade and define our lives. So The Danish Poet's awesome. Also, it has some funny shit in it.
Isn't that all about How I Met Your Mother? The entire storyline?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the premise of the show.
But this doesn't drag on.
How I Met Your Mother is amazing.
Drag on enjoyably?
No, I mean, it's not bad. I'm just saying he should have met her by now.
Next season's final
season. Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
They introduced her last season.
Yeah.
Last episode.
Like, we got to watch on Netflix.
It was exciting. Spoiler.
So, like, is there going to be, like, a spinoff, like, How I Railed Your Mother?
So that was a good recommendation.
No, it just turns into the Wonder Years.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend, this is a generic thing, but people should go to Steam and take advantage of the Steam summer sale. There's so many
dangerous
games for like $4 or $2. There's a game called Oregon Trail. That's like $1 right now.
Oregon Trail's on there for $1?
No. Yeah, Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon. It's Oregon Trail, but with zombies.
It's Oregon Trail. It's like a $5 game that's on sale for $1 right now. But there's just tons of good games. I got Dishonored for like $12.
And you can still die of dysentery. Borderlands 2 is on there for $10.
Yeah.
Except I already own Borderlands 2. But yes,
I am almost willing to buy it again on PC just so I can play it with other people.
I will probably buy it in December's Christmas sale when it's down to like $10 with every expansion is when I'll probably pick up the Borderlands on the PC.
Yeah, so, I picked up Witcher 2 for $5, and I picked up something for $2.50, and I just forgot what it was. So that shows how much thought I put into it. It's like, oh, $2, buy!
So I buy, like, there's like five games a year I buy brand new, and then the rest are only bought during Steam sales, summer or Christmas sale. But yeah, there's like, there's a certain games I need to have at launch, but then everything else is only bought at a Steam sale.
Makes sense.
Andy? Steam sale's so dangerous.
Recommendations. I don't really have any.
All right, then.
And again,
every goddamn week. Every, I hate you so much.
On that note.
No.
Zappity!
Yeah, right?
I had something. I honestly cannot remember what it was.
Was it an animal, mineral, or vegetable?
None.
Is it a noun?
Or possibly.
Is it a gerund?
Is it a...
Gerund is a verb ending in ing, thus making it a noun.
Is it a jackalope?
Yes.
Is it a jackalope?
You recommended jackalopes.
Is it a small boy's...
Is it a jackal?
Is it a small boy's Sunday trousers?
Yeah. Is it a helicopter? That's what I thought. Hey, let's all just reference an internet thing now. That'll not recommend, annoy
Is he from Springfield? Oh!
I know. I'll recommend all the Batman series.
That is the greatest thing in the world.
League of Shadows! He's sleeping.
Yeah, you need to watch, go out.
Harvey Dent! Can we trust him?
Go out to College Humor, check out Batman or Batman parodies.
Yeah, it's the Batman parodies on College Humor. And those same people, they had that whole series of shorts with the guy in the doctor's office that are amazing. And they run the gamut from like just legitimate like funny to awkward to some that are like horrific. Like I love the one that's the good news and bad news. And like the good news or the bad news is that your semen sample came back with a very low sperm count. The good news, it's delicious. That's it. They're all just like 5 seconds long. It's just done. They're great.
All right, there we go.
Harvey Dent. Can we trust him?
All right, that's it.
He's all tuckered out.